The Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. I'm Corby Skinner.
And I'm Anna Page. And we're sharing stories of creative people who live and work in the Intermountain West.
Jason DeShaw is a Montana singer-songwriter who has managed to maintain a successful career while dealing with mental illness. He has recorded 6 albums, toured 7 countries, and sang at just about every country fair throughout the West. But behind the scenes, Jason nearly lost his life due to mental illness. Today, DeShaw is a nationally recognized spokesperson for his triumph of using music to overcome trials and hardships. Living proof that hope is worth believing in. Jason, you are living in Helena, Montana now, but I know you grew up...
You can edit that out because you can't let all the ladies know where I live.
We're not going to have addresses.
Yeah. Just go knock on the Capitol door and see what happens. Maybe Steve Bullock will give you a ride home in a snowstorm.
I think Helen is a good place for you.
It is. Central. It's a mixture of conservative values and liberal politics. And so somewhere in it all... we have to find the common ground. And most every human being has the same needs as the next, you know? We all need to feel loved and we need to feel accepted for who we are. Whether you believe in God, Buddha, or Jesus Christ himself, it doesn't matter. All roads lead home.
But now your home started in Plentywood, Montana.
Eastern Montana.
Up on
ever
the
since
highway.
I seen that... home of John Tester sign and Big Sandy. You ever seen that?
Yes, I have.
Ever since that, I've envisioned them putting up a sign that said, home of you-know-who. And I just thought, you know, then I would know that I made it in my hometown. I have fears and insecurities just like the next guy. I for some reason, have had a hell of a time beating the hell out of myself.
How much did the Highline really influence you as your songwriting evolved?
Well, I've always been more attracted to the native ways than I have the white man's, you know? I mean, it started getting screwed up clear back to Christopher Columbus. You don't invade a man's home and then ask him what you can do for him. You know, you just... try to respect the man because he built his house and he built it the way he liked it, you know? And I think we all just need to do that a little bit.
So you incorporated indigenous culture into your songwriting?
No, mostly into my survival.
Mm.
Because
how so?
I tend to take on emotions. I think I'm just kind of a little bit sensitive, you know? And I don't really say that to anybody, but... what happens is I go into these psychiatric lockdown hospitals, and even if it's the best unit in the world, it's still a unit, and there's people that are suffering. You got to go where they need you, and I believe in entities that exist supporting someone who's living by the heart, you know.
I think what you're talking about comes across in your music, too. What you write about and you sing is certainly... about that need for
hope. Well,
you
get a lot of cowpokes that'll sing about the truth and then not do it.
You're sharing that struggle about mental illness that you describe as making you a better human being.
What I would love to see is the world where we act like the tribal African culture that celebrates the schizophrenic, you know, that adores and protects the bipolar. But that see this as someone who has been given a gift that is not of this world. You know, that it's they're just a gentle shift to the left of normal. So what do we do in this world of ours, or this country of ours? We lock them up, either the county or the city jail or the gol darn state prison.
I do know in a lot of Native culture that Two-Spirit is celebrated. That people that are unique are celebrated for their uniqueness rather than
shunned. That's what I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. You read my mind, Corby. Mm-hmm. It's good thing I'm here today with all of you.
Well, you say that it's easy to forget there's hope when you're going through hell, and that I'm living proof that hope is worth believing.
Yeah, I mean, doctors didn't give me till 31 years old, and by God, I got them beat by a couple. You know, but out of struggle comes strength. These things that damn near kill us, that's when we have to reach out for help, and we get it. Mm-hmm. But this living closed-mindedly and with borders that must have a wall, like, that's all just fear. And love is stronger than fear, and I know Marianne Williamson just said that, but, you know, there's more good than there is bad, and so we just got to capitalize on those who are making the difference in their communities, in their worlds, and we got to empower them. We have some of the best leaders in the world just sweeping a street, or, you know, the wisdom is there, we just got to seek it.
Well, and you've been on Montana school tours. It seems like this is something that you focus on in the springtime. You get in front of thousands of high school students to talk about your struggle. And let's talk a little bit about what it's like to inspire young high school students.
Well, you hope you do, you know. I mean, we're all coming at life from different places, and so you hope you can make a difference and do what you love to do. But it takes a toll. You know, that school tour that kind of just went on forever, it ended up, I was inpatient hospitalized for 2 months.
Afterwards?
You know? Yeah. And I lost a good buddy to a bullet in the head. And that's what just broke my heart. But the thing that broke it the worst was I got up to Browning High School, the one that I was looking forward to out of all the schools. Because nobody goes there, you know. And these kids matter. You know, you talked about alcohol. So you said the word alcoholism, and it was like a sheer terror that came across the audience, you know. And anyways, what broke my heart to where I just was broken was they lost a kid to suicide the night before I got there. And I said, if that ain't bullshit, because I've been doing so damn many schools that I can't even know where my head end and my ass end begins, and fighting like hell to make a difference because I just didn't at that point really believe in myself, you know. So it was a lot of hard work and a lot, I guess I just tried to give back to this magical land that we call home.
Were you able to do the concert for the kids after that?
Oh yeah.
Because
and then they honored Elsie Earnhardt, or Secretary of, or
Public Education,
head of OPI.
Right.
She drove up all the way to Browning to be there when I performed, and then the next day, well, she drove back to Helena that night. Then the next day, she drives all the way to Libby from Helena, and she just wanted to be there personally because they had supported the work that I was doing in schools, and she wanted to put her, you know, magic glasses on it. You know? And God, you know, she helped me out when I needed it most. You know, $10,000 is not a lot to a rich man, but sometimes it's everything to the guy who needs it.
Well, you did a lot of schools during that tour all across Montana. In fact, the tour was sponsored by Public Education. Is that right?
And Blue Cross Blue Shield of Montana. They've been so good at supporting.
Oh, great.
And who else? It was the Center for Mental Health Research and Recovery at Montana State University in Bozeman.
And you present The Serenity in the Storm?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I'm thinking of changing the name, though. I started speaking about my life, what the hell year would it have been, 2014. And that's just a lot of wandering around talking to, you know, rooms that need it and rooms that don't. And I'm still exhausted from that school's tour, but it was worth every minute of it. It was worth every minute of it when, for that one kid we lost in Browning, another walks up and said, "You saved my life." You know, that's why I do this. Jason. I haven't been able to cry in 15 years. And I don't know if that's the cowboy or just a distressed hippie in me.
Do you know what I'd love to hear is maybe one of those songs that you played on the school tours.
I got
tours.
Just the right one for you. Although this song is brand new. Ain't nobody heard it, so don't steal it.
Oh, how exciting. A premiere. We love premieres on Resounds.
What is this show called?
Resounds. Oh, Arts and Culture on the High Plains.
Awesome. Well, what two great hosts you have.
We've been having fun. And we love having live music in the studio.
Yeah. Sometimes it sounds good, sometimes it doesn't.
Raindrops are falling, heaven's pouring down. And if you listen closely, well, you can hear the sound of a long lost loved one telling you goodbye, saying that they love you. Yeah, just one more time. But out here in the commons, ain't no common ground. Hope is worth believing. Goodness comes around. I can hear the thunder leaning to the roar. I ain't afraid to die, but I'm tired from the war. Out here in the commons, ain't no common ground. Hope is worth believing. Goodness comes around. Oh, the blues. Africa. Wisdom lies hey, at the bottom.
For sharing that. Brand new.
And for our audience, I will attest that those words are just scratched out on a piece of paper. We're talking about a very recent song.
Well, actually, this is a photocopy of the scratch piece of paper because I've become more careful with where I put stuff. Or I'm trying.
Oh, yeah. Don't want to lose those notes.
No. I better put it away while we're thinking.
Jason, when did you start singing and writing songs? Is this something that's always been a part of you?
Mm-hmm. That's when I started professionally.
Yeah.
So it was, good place to grow up where I came from. I mean, they taught you a hard work ethic, you know, and I think that's one of the most beautiful things about Montana, but we also have to be tough enough to ask for help, because that takes true strength. You know, it's not dying in the corner alone and feeling abandoned, and it's just because we don't ask for help. I think no matter what you deal with, whether it's a heart condition or a brain, you know, it just comes down to simple things.
And who in your career, I know that you are good friends with Costas, the famous songwriter.
I still am.
From Billings, and
he just received the Songwriters Hall of Fame Award down in Nashville.
That's something?
That is so wonderful. So how did you go about, or how did you meet Costas on your musical
That's a
trail?
Good story, actually. So I was at the Hope House in Bozeman. So we used to drive, whenever I'd get revved up, you know, into hypomania or mania mainly, my gal would drive me the 540 miles that it is from Plentywood to Bozeman. One summer we did it, I think, three times where I got admitted. And anyways, the third time it was kind of lucky. I was at the hot springs because I'd charmed the staff into letting a fellow friend pick me up and bring me to the hot springs. And what a good place that was. Well, anyways, I'm sitting in the hot springs and I see this guy at the end of the pool. And I knew it was Costas. But I didn't know for sure, so I just dove under the water and swam the length of the pool and emerged right in front of him. And I said, does your name happen to be Costas? And of course, he's Greek, you know. And he says, some people call me by that name. And I said, well, sir, I'd like to buy you a steak and get to know you. And I don't think we ever caught that steak, but I've sure enjoyed getting to know him.
What a wonderful, wonderful man, too.
And has he influenced you in your songwriting?
Oh, of course he has. You know, he's kind of a Billings native, transported to Savage, Montana, where all my family's from.
Well, and he told me about growing up selling papers and shining shoes in the bars, and he would actually make more money singing for folks in the bar. So he would offer them a paper, offer to shine their shoes, and say, hey, can I sing you a song? He'd walk out of the bars with $5 or $6 in his pocket, which was a full day's haul from newspaper delivery at best. So that's kind of how we got into songwriting here in Billings.
Well, and boy, what a songwriter he became.
Yeah, agreed.
But you know, Costas be the first to tell you to look within, you know, find out what your truth is and live it. And so that, I think, has been a lesson that I needed to learn.
And a lesson that you share with students who, I think, that music makes it so accessible to them.
Well, we're all students of something, you know.
I always am sad about the fact that so much art and music has been removed from school curriculum. When I think there's probably never a time that it's more in
the
need.
The therapy of music, right? Oh boy, I would advocate for it. I don't give endorsements, but I'll always advocate for a good action, like, you know, happens. I think those things, the right things happen when we're in tune with the moment or with ourselves. And it seems to just beautifully unfold, where before we were trying to pressure and constrain things and fitted into what our head thought was true. And, you know, then we just get into our heart space and it's okay again.
We had a very nice conversation with Tatiana Gant, who is the Montana Arts Council Executive Director. And they've really made a focus to get art and music, particularly out into rural Montana and into schools and small communities.
I always thought it'd be interesting to get an award and then invite a homeless man to give your speech. I kind of like that idea. If we can't treat the homeless man with compassion, who should we treat it with?
You were awarded by the National Alliance on Mental Illness for exhibiting courage, leadership, and service on behalf of all people living with mental illness. Your acceptance speech was very inspiring. What was it like to receive that award?
Well, it happened early on in my career as a speaker. So, you know, it's funny, and maybe you're this way too, but you hit these certain apexes in life and you're thinking, oh, this is it, this is as good as it can get. And you haven't even gotten started, you know. I'm just getting started. But I also kind of long for driving a tractor because I've thought enough for three lifetimes, you know. And so I might someday soon just decide to raise a few cows, and I got to find me some ground to get a hold of. But, you know, I think that's the same thing there. You know, you got to respect the man who owns the land.
Or woman. I was just speaking with...
Hey, I messed up, didn't I? I did mess up. Because the woman says, whoa, man. You know?
Well, I was just out in Grass Range visiting Gilles Stockton, who is the son of Bill Stockton, a very famous contemporary painter who grew up in Montana in the 30s. Very surprised to know that his grandmother homesteaded not only one, but two properties. Bill Stockton's father died before he was even born. And this very strong and resilient woman raised, I believe it was four children on a washerwoman's salary or washerperson's salary in Winnet and homesteaded some land not once, but twice after losing her first homestead.
Yeah, I spoke for those schools.
Yeah.
And there's something sacred about the High Line. I think probably because it was Indian country, you know. But there is something that I don't like to take the South route home from Helen. I like to roll the High Line.
Ah.
There's an old, you know, kind of energy to it. I mean, it's much more calm than Billings.
Well, you talk about being an empath and certainly feeling all of these things.
I'm not an empath. I'm not many things at all. I just I'm just kind of a sensitive guy who's not afraid to admit it.
Gotcha. Well, forgive me for
misunderstanding. No, you were good. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, it's all right. I think sensitive people tend to be very empathic and absorb energy around them.
Titles get in the way, you know. Mm-hmm. Just like here, I'm enjoying the hell out of this, and I'm exhausted. There was a Christmas movie on the Hallmark Channel last night. And I just didn't get any rest. And they kept replaying the same story, different movies. But I thought, you know, what a godsend that was, because I needed to settle down my mind. What better than just monotonous... Well, it was a pretty good flick.
Well, I understand that need to rest the mind, and so you find that focusing in on something like a feel-good movie helps?
I think it helps to... just busy the mind when it's too busy.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe switch gears or give it a distraction.
Yeah, it's like, you know, how they give kids Ritalin or whatever, like, and that's from a hyper energy,
right?
And they're giving a stimulant. So what does that tell you? That, you know, maybe we shouldn't always be so scared of what can help us, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly music's helped you. Would you care to share another song?
Oh, I suppose if you said Pretty Please.
Oh, Pretty
Please.
This is the one I wanted to show you. It's a song that I wrote a few nights ago. But it's kind of a fun one to sing.
So this is another new song.
This is another new one.
All right.
There's no recordings of either of these songs.
Well, we're getting the sneak peek. How lucky. <That's
right. laughs> I feel touch, taste the kiss, that part of you that I'm gonna miss. Without words, I hear you say you love me true. If I change my ways, together apart. Sorry to break your heart. It's just a big old lie. Ain't no good in goodbye. I always knew from way back when. The sail, and there was the wind. Together apart, sorry to break your heart. It's just a big old lie. Ain't no good in goodbye. So I blow free, far from home, by myself. I'm not alone. Oh, oh. Together apart, sorry to break your heart. It's just a big old lie. Ain't no good in goodbye. Ain't no good in goodbye.
That sounded like a country song to me.
That's a country song.
Yeah, you've got all the longing and the minor chords and just a beautiful thank you.
And Costas, a yodel. I heard a little bit of a yodel in there.
Yeah, a little reference to Pete Anderson, the guitar player for Dwight Yoakam that helped him define that sound, you know.
Jason, we so much enjoyed having you here and being in Billings and sharing your music. I'm wondering, what's coming up? What do you have planned for the next year?
I don't know. I'm kind of going to go wherever it takes me. I hope that it's through a lot of songs, you know. But I have to ease up on my speaking schedule because it's just taking a lot out of me, and it's just time. I guess the answer to your question is I'm going to take good care of me. That's what I'm going to focus on. The rest of it works itself out. You know, there's an apparent need for hope out there, and by God, if we can bring that or help bring it, that's a good day.
Well, Jason DeShaw, thank you so much for being in the studio. We'll have links on ypradio.org to your music and a little bit more about you. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you or someone that you know is struggling with mental health, please know that you're not alone and that it's okay. The National Alliance on Mental Health is the nation's largest grassroots mental health organization dedicated to building better lives for millions of Americans affected by mental health conditions. NAMI Billings, an affiliate founded in 1995, is dedicated to helping people as they raise awareness about mental health conditions and providing local education, advocacy, and support group programs for those living with mental challenges and the loved ones who care for them.
Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains is produced by Corby Skinner, Anna Page, and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music by Alex Naumann. Additional funding provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. More information on Resounds is available at ypradio.org.